Oasis Audio presents How Can I Know? By Robert Jeffress. Read for you by the author. To the Jim Donald family, Jim, Geneva, and Jennifer, for your vision and generous help in spreading God's eternal truth through our Pathway to Victory radio and television ministry. Chapter 1. How Can I Know There Is a God? I was saved by God when I was 5 years old. I was called by God into the ministry when I was 15. I made a pledge to God to remain faithful to my bride when I was 21. I serve God by pastoring a large church. I write and talk about God to a lot of people. I converse with God every morning, night, and throughout the day. Occasionally, I wonder if God really exists. And I imagine you do too. I regularly encounter people in my church who don't admit to having any doubts about anything, including the existence of God. I may have questioned a lot of things, but I've never doubted that there is a God who loves me, they proclaim. These people seem to represent the vast majority of Americans who profess belief in God. According to a recent Gallup poll, 9 in 10 Americans say they believe in God. Apparently, Americans are much more inclined to believe in God than the rest of the world's population. Just over half, 51%, of people worldwide claim to believe in God's existence. However, I'm not sure that people are as sure about God's existence as they profess. Daniel Dennett, author of Darwin's Dangerous Idea, is representative of the new atheists who have launched a vitriolic attack against so-called theists. As much as I disagree with just about everything Dennett believes, I think he is correct in clarifying the distinction between actual belief in God and what he terms belief in belief. If you more deeply question those 9 in 10 Americans who say they believe in God, you will find that what they really believe in is not God, but their own beliefs about God. If they truly believed in God, wouldn't they conduct their lives differently? And if over half of the world's population and 90% of Americans acted as if God really existed and would one day evaluate their lives, wouldn't this world be in much better shape than its current state? Even atheists like Dennett can get it right every now and then. Whether we are willing to admit it or not, most all of us have wondered about the existence of God. The only people who never doubt are those who never really think. I agree with Mark Buchanan's assertion, the depth of our doubt is roughly proportional to the depth of our faith. Those with strong faith have equally strong doubts. That principle bears out in the other direction as well. People with a trivial and shallow faith usually have trivial and shallow doubts. This book is for those of you who have sincere questions about religion but may be too embarrassed to voice them. Perhaps you have grown up attending church and realize you should know the right answers to these questions, but you don't. And even if you feel confident in your own beliefs, you would be hard-pressed to answer questions from a friend, coworker, or family member such as, how do you know the Bible is really true? How do you know Christianity is the right religion? How do you know there's such a thing as life after death? Maybe you picked up this book because although you would like to be a better person, maybe even a religious person, you have some legitimate doubts that have kept you from embracing Christianity. If so, you can relax. Rather than berating you for your doubts, I will address them intelligently and compassionately. Questioning foundational beliefs is not a sin, but a necessary prerequisite for faith. Obviously, the most foundational question about faith is the one we begin with in this chapter. How can we know there is a God? Why we doubt the existence of God. Why do people, believers and non-believers, question the reality of God? I believe there are 5 major sources of doubts about God. Natural doubt. You can tell your child that the tooth fairy exists, and describe her beauty, kindness, and concern for children who are dentally challenged. You can even leave apparent evidence of her existence under your child's pillow after you've traumatized your child by tying the loose tooth to a knob and slamming the door shut. Remember that? But sooner or later, your child catches on that the tooth fairy is imaginary. And from there, it is just a short journey.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?